Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse here at Chicago Sports Radio 670. Before I am David Hall with Pete Devine until 11 o'clock today. We are talking baseball. We have a new segment to introduce. We have more White Sox discussion. We've got a lot to get to. There was a no-hitter in baseball last night, Bruce. But we have some breaking news related to the Cubs that we need to check out. We need to share with people, Bruce, because this could be an interesting and significant development.
Yes, first base coach of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Driver, has tested positive for COVID-19 virus. He was held back from traveling with the team on the trip to Pittsburgh for testing, and now this is positive. The good news for the Cubs, and we wish Craig and all the best and continue to get better, is that contract tracing indicated that he didn't come into contact with any of the Cubs that went on the trip to Pittsburgh. Therefore, there's no worries there. So bad news for Craig Driver. Hopefully he'll get well soon. Good news for the Cubs and their traveling party that they were not impacted with this from what we understand. All the testing was done Wednesday and Thursday for the traveling party, and it all came back negative.
So those people who may not be aware, Craig Driver is 32 years old. He's in his second year on the Cubs coaching staff. Quality assurance coach Mike Napoli coached first base in Driver's absence in Thursday's opening game in that series. The Cubs had Friday off. They return today at 5:30. Coverage begins here on The Score with Zach's pregame at 5 o'clock. He'll have probably more information. But as we sit here this morning, a few minutes past 10 o'clock, we know that the Craig Driver, the Cubs' first base coach, who was deemed to be under the weather, did not make the trip, as you point out. Positive test for COVID. We have contact tracing, and that's all we know at this point, Bruce. And you do hope that this is contained, and that you hope that he is okay health-wise, and you hope that this is one of those things that they got in front of, and everybody ends up being fine and healthy.
Yeah, so it's a big change from last year, David, where, you know, we saw teams going down. Right now, you know, with the way that they travel, you know, when they do travel, you know, they have these little things that go around their arms or ankles as far as tracing goes, and they're much more sophisticated is what I'm trying to say as far as dealing with COVID this year, making things a little easier for baseball to deal with the virus.
It's also a reminder, Bruce, I think, that as fans go back to the ballpark happily and I think are ready to kind of return to normalcy or a semblance of that, that this is not behind us yet. There are going to be isolated reminders. Hopefully they're isolated and it doesn't spread into something greater or bigger. But this is just a sobering reminder that we are still dealing with the after effects or in the midst of a pandemic. We're at the tail end of it. We can see the end is near. You hope that is the case, but the numbers continue to, you know, be worth paying attention to. And a positive test on the Cubs staff is something that we still have to pay attention to and is significant. And that's why, you know, breaking news here on The Score is powered by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And the breaking news being Craig Driver, first base coach for the Cubs, a positive COVID test, and the protocols are underway to contain that. So here we are. Now we're going to continue to talk baseball. Bruce, we have a new segment to introduce this week. We have something that we would like to call, on a regular basis, chin music.
High and inside. Time for some chin music.
Hey, Yonk, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
All right, this week we will look at something that we heard that we want to deliver a strong message, maybe buzz the tower a little bit, Bruce, because every week we're going to identify someone or something that deserves a strong message delivered. And this week, this was the sound that we heard that we felt like merited some sort of response.
Rossi, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
I wonder if you understand the overindulgence of people like myself and some fans about the early season slump, considering, you know, the hitting of last year. And, you know, we know this isn't the NFL, but still it's something that's being looked at early.
Yeah, I don't know how to control the outside narrative. I mean, this is a 162, right? I'm not going to ride that roller coaster four or five games in. Like, I'm not going to do that, so. Tell people to hold tight, I guess. Sit back, relax. We got a chance to win another series today. I don't know what to tell. You'll find a way on the radio, I know.
It's just me. I'm speaking for me alone.
Okay. Well, then no comment.
And that's David Ross having me put on the Barbasol and use the Gillette shaver for that high and tight one that he threw back at me a couple times. And what we found out from that was, you know, I was inquiring because obviously, even though it's a quick early story, the offense isn't there for the Chicago Cubs. Now they break out and they get 11 hits, yesterday, and that's, you know, or Thursday, that's great. But, from the perspective of Ross, this was a day game after a night game and the first one of the year, and a loss the night before that wasn't too much fun. And he was not in the mood to deal with my type of questions or a lot of questions because of the fact that there's some days where he's just going to be as real can be and say, yeah, you know, those are stupid questions this early in the season. I'm not going there.
But was he asking for a retaliation, Bruce, because he kept that tone alive when he was razzing Jordan Bastion later during the same Zoom conference?
With Wilson, how important is it to kind of schedule those off days in advance? Because it seems like he'd be a guy that could try and talk you out of giving him a day off.
Yeah, I thought I just answered that question, didn't I? Yeah, it's very important for Wilson to get off days. This was a scheduled off days. We're going to rely on him throughout the season and play a lot of innings. So it's going to be important to get him rest and protect his body.
I guess more what I was asking was scheduling the off day in advance. So it's not a last minute, he's trying to talk you out of it situation, knowing his personality.
I don't know how else to answer the question, Jordan. I'm sorry.
All right, Bruce, that is begging for a response. He's sort of asking for a little chin music in response there because Rossi is grumpy. He's entitled to be grumpy.
I love it. I love the whole morning. Okay. No, because you're right, David. It's totally edgy. But the thing I like the most is, you know, this is David Ross unplugged. you know, in the morning, you know, no Mr. Nice Guy answering all the questions, whether he thinks there are good ones or not. That day was all about, I'm not dealing with these crappy questions this morning. You know what? I'm not in the mood, and you guys are just going to have to wear it back because I'm not dealing with it. It was the beauty of what happens to baseball people.
Oh, Bruce.
And honest people. During
come on,
the,
this
during
is called chin music,
season.
Not out of the strike zone in the dirt music. Come on, listen.
It was great. It was fantastic. I think, wearing it.
Well, it's good. It's good that you're a good sport about it. You're a professional, and it's not the first time. It won't be the last. But I always chuckle because, yeah, dealing with grumpy coaches or managers, that's part of what we do. We get it. They're not going to be the affable guy you see.
But this is David Ross, my friend, the guy dancing with the stars.
I know.
You know, the hero from the World Series, the greatest underdog to come back and, you know, show that every man can go to the World Series and help the Chicago Cubs win after 108 years. And now you're dealing with the reality of, hey, he's a big league manager, and there's going to be days where he's going to tell you to take a hike.
I know. Is that okay?
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It could be
beautiful.
Professional, though. Yeah. Okay. He has a bad day. Everyone has a bad day. But if this is a great baseball city, but dealing with the overreaction or overanalysis is part of living in Chicago. You're going to be right. I'm going to be wrong. We're going to disagree. We're going to get along. But you're going to understand that there's some things about, you know, you celebrate the passionate baseball city that Chicago is. Part of that is dealing with this sort of like, oh my gosh, they're hitting 157 after seven games. What does this mean to October? That is what we do in a sports city with two all sports radio stations, with the fan base that has been without baseball in person for 2 years. Are you kidding me? If people want to overreact this week, go ahead, overreact. That's part of it.
Right? The Zoom sessions are basically a dunk tank. You know, you remember the old dunk tank. They had it at Riverview, which is way before most of our listeners were born. That was the greatest amusement park in the world ever. It stopped being in existence in 1960. But a lot of other amusement parks had dunk tanks where you're on that little seat and then somebody throws a ball and it hits the bullseye,
Bruce,
you go into the
Bruce,
water. It's
Bruce,
and
Bruce,
that's pretty much what Zooms are for managers.
Hey.
Can you imagine Earl Weaver or Billy Martin or Leo DeRocher in a Zoom before and after games? You know, it's just unimaginable for me to be able to even think about it. And the fact that these Zooms for managers are kind of like pie throwing contests, you know, they really are, because the guy has nowhere to go. They're answering questions that they most normally wouldn't answer the same way one-on-one talking to a guy. And it's just,
Bruce,
it's a new world out there.
I grew up in small town Indiana. You don't have to explain the carnival to me, okay? I know a dunk tank and a pie throwing contest. But come on. These guys have to suffer fools. That's part of the job. And I'm not calling the media corps a bunch of fools, because I've been part of that and remain part of that. But you gotta give him a break. Certainly he's having a bad day, but you gotta suffer fools no matter. That's part of the job almost. You're the daily spokesperson for an organization that is worth $3.5 billion. You're the face out there. Occasionally, if you're grumpy, okay, but that can't be the rule. That's got to be the exception, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the first one that really made me laugh, I think it was Jesse Rogers talking to Pinella about 12 years ago, about saying, did you ever think about taking Soriano out for defense? And it was like, you know, this is after Soriano blew a game at the end in the ninth inning. And it was like, you know, Jesse asked a good question. It was a strong question. It's a question that's commonly asked now. Back then,
yeah.
Using the term, did you ever think, okay? That was a non-starter, okay,
Bruce,
for managers back then. Now it's common. It's common right now.
All of us have stories about being sort of embarrassed and being jumped on. I can remember being an intern for the South Bend Tribune, and it was such a big thrill to come over to Chicago to cover Cubs game, and I had the audacity to ask Don Zimmer the dumbest question that I think I could come up with about Greg Maddux, I think it was, or I forget the exact question because I was so nervous. You're right. I'm, you know, this 20-year-old kid who's in the Chicago Cubs clubhouse, grew up a Cubs fan. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Mark Grace. And Zimmer just embarrassed me. Just embarrassed me. And I, you know, like, who are you? Where you come from? What kind of question is that? And so you have, and I was like, okay, that was a good
lesson.
Went
Digger Phelps. He went Digger Phelps on you.
Yeah, he did. Total full digger. But you're right. These guys have bad days. We forgive these bad days because they, but I think that, you know, and Rossi does a great job of being the spokesperson. So yeah, the dunk tank analogy is a good thing. And you know what, Bruce, you got dunked in that tank a little bit this week. Ozzie Guillen had some fun at your expense as we are talking about these Zoom conferences after he heard what happened when you were unable to connect visually with Dallas Keuchel.
Well, do you know the best thing about that? When Bruce Labai told Keuchel, hey, I'm sorry because my camera is not ready. Keuchel don't want to see that face, Bruce. Please, come on, bro. You're right. He just want to hear you and answer your question, okay?
And the worst part of that, David, was the horse laugh from Frank Thomas in the background. You have a Hall of Famer sitting there going, yeah, Rossi, you're right. That's a tough face to look at. Oh, that's great. So that's the beauty. That was my, I think it was the same day. Yeah, that was
it was the same day. It was a long day, Bruce. Day. You worked long hours,
but it was
and that
a
was
good
a long
day.
Day.
It was a good day, you know, because it shows you, you know, what goes on out there on a daily basis. It's fun to get picked on. It's fun to deal with people. And, you know, that's baseball coverage. What could be better than that?
Okay, Bruce, but if somebody's coming inside on you and somebody's hitting you, and whether it's in the helmet or
I got Ozzy right away.
I'm coming back. I'm retaliating. I'm coming back.
I got Ozzy right away. I said he was wearing these red slippers on the show. Okay. He was wearing red slippers. And I said, EB is his wife. Didn't EB tell you that you forgot to take off your house slippers before you left the house today?
I mean,
they were bright red. Nothing like my man Ozzy, the way he dresses. I mean, he's a beautiful guy and dresses beautifully. Oh. But he did walk out of the house with his slippers on.
We love having Ozzy every week on the Mully and Haw show. It's a privilege to talk to Ozzy every week. His outfits are the source of some conversation some weeks, so that's fun. And Bruce, good for you for buzzing the tower and providing Ozzy some chin music in return, because sometimes you have to deliver a strong message, and every week we will have chin music and have some fun with some sound that we hear during the week of baseball coverage here on the
Hopefully
school.
It's not me getting beat up every week.
Well, it could be a weekly thing. You never know. Bruce, let's talk some White Sox when we come back from the break, because there's a lot going on. It was a fascinating week if you were Yermín Mercedes, if you were Lance Lynn, if you were Michael Kopech. Some really interesting developments on the South Side. We'll talk about them next here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It doesn't take a Rolls Royce long to get warm. And that's what Tony is. He's a Rolls Royce of managers. There's no doubt about it. You know, he's only been fired one time, you know, in his career. And you're talking to the fired, you know. So, but I didn't fire him because he was a bad manager. There was some other reason, but Tony and I both will take that reason to the grave with us.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm David Hobb with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. That was, of course, it was the voice of Hawk Harrelson, who joined Mully and I on the Mully and Haw Show on Friday morning talking about Tony La Russa. More on the Sox in a moment, Bruce, but we want to share with people who might be just joining us the breaking news here on The Score, powered by BetQL. Become a better sports better. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, Cubs first base coach Craig Driver, second year with the team, tested positive for COVID. Contact tracing underway, trying to find out exactly how far this has spread. But he did not join the team in Pittsburgh. He was replaced on Thursday by Mike Napoli coaching first base, and will be the case today later when they are scheduled to play the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Pre-game coverage here on The Score begins at 5 with Zach Zaidman leading into Pat and Ron, but Craig Driver not with the team, contact tracing because of his COVID test, Bruce. So the Cubs will be without the first base coach tonight.
Right, and they did all the testing in Pittsburgh Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Everybody came up negative in all those tests, which, you know, is really good news. So we're really happy about that. We wish Craig a quick recovery. And these are things that we're going to still have to get used to maybe all year this year, maybe for the next couple of years. Who knows, David? We do not know about the science all the way through.
Absolutely. So we are going to have to deal with that as a reality for this baseball season. Another thing we're going to have to get used to is seeing Tony La Russa back in the Sox dugout for the first time in a very long time, Bruce, and through eight games. I just curious what you think overall. We heard from Hawk, who we talked to yesterday. We had some fun, and there's going to be a lot of decisions that get scrutinized in a way that maybe didn't before when Tony La Russa was in the dugout because of the presence of social media, the invasive nature of some of these things, and also just because it's pressure that is inherent. But his first week has been a mixed bag. I mean, I think that you had the delay of the challenge, the 20 to 30 second debate that he, you know, could have reviewed a play that he didn't. He had the accountability issue where he fell on the sword in talking about staying with Matt Foster too long. Questionable decision with the Liam Hendricks usage at one point. The Sox at 4-4 have not been a team defensively that they thought they should be. You wonder about their readiness for the season, Bruce. How would you evaluate Tony La Russa's first week back in the dugout for the White Sox?
Just like I evaluate every manager in the first week of the season. The team plays well, you're a good manager. Team sucks, and you're not. You know, this is all about Tony La Russa still here in Chicago and people kind of looking at him and waiting for him to fail, okay? There are a lot of still haters out there. I think you have to admit that, David, that don't want him to be the manager, that didn't want him to be the manager, that are still waiting for him to fail so they can, so the 76-year-old baseball Hall of Famer can get out of their way and they can get that young, energetic manager that they envisioned for their Chicago White Sox team in 2021. Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, he's not going to get fired for making a mistake. He's not going to get fired for admitting that he made a mistake, which a lot of managers would never do. You know, give him a tremendous amount of credit for just owning up and saying, I lost the game for the team. How many managers do you remember saying that over the last 15, 20, 30 years ever? You know, that basically this one thing where the pitcher failed was the manager's fault, and therefore they lost the game because of that. I think he was right. I think he stayed with him too long. I think they did lose the game because of that move. So kudos to him for standing up to it, because if he didn't, I think there would be a lot more at his doorstep now than is right now.
Fair enough, Bruce. I want to ask you the same question I asked Hawk Harrelson, though, and I think it's a fair one. And I don't want to be unfair to Tony La Russa because he's 76 years old, as much as I think that I'd ask this about any manager who was out of the game for a decade. When a player comes back from an injury or a layoff or even a semi-retirement, I think that we hear often, or even if it's a new player taking a step up in from a level from AAA to the majors or in football from college to the NFL, the speed of the game. You have to adjust and get – once the game slows down – they'll be better off. Do you think the same is true with the 76-year-old manager who has been out for a decade? Do you think that Tony La Russa saw and recognized and realized this first week that the things were happening faster than he recalled, and there's going to be this adjustment phase as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I think that's fair. That's a fair analysis. But, you know, like the 20-second challenge is new, okay? I don't know if everybody understands that you – and – how many challenges do you think there were this first week? Not a lot. And the reason is there's not enough time for the video guy to look at it and give the manager information of whether it should be challenged or not. You know, so I'm not making excuses for La Russa. He wasn't able to do that. It was a bang-bang play. He could have been safe. He could have been out. Nonetheless, I think you're going to see far less challenges this year. That's why that rule was put in. Because of the fact that those calls are too close, you know. So again, we will see. Oh, good news! You want to talk about the good news?
Yeah, we'll talk about the good news.
You and I are going to talk to Tony La Russa at 10:40.
That's terrific. That we can talk to the manager of the White Sox himself about the adjustment and his first week, and it was an eventful one. Four wins, four losses, and you look at they're off today. The White Sox game has been postponed due to weather, so they get a second day off. And this has been an eventful first week for Tony back in the dugout, and looking forward to that conversation. So he's got a bullpen to manage. He's got a team to prepare for. He's got a void to fill in left field. And part of that life without Eloy Jimenez has been made easier with the emergence of Yermin Mercedes, Bruce. What can you compare that to?
Well, you know, it's a great story with Mercedes picking up where Jimenez left off. But no one should think that Mercedes is going to replace what Jimenez would bring for a whole season. This is, you know, hopefully it's a player late in his career getting a chance and he's going to be good. But let's not make him into Babe Ruth at this point. He's not going to be that. He's going to have to adjust to the way they learn how to adjust to him pitching wise, and that'll be it. But you know, injuries are something that I definitely want to talk to Tony about. Losing him and as Angle, Anderson, Hamilton, Garcia being on the bench with a leg injury. It's a lot of challenges for the first week of the season.
And that's up to Tony La Russa to address and to face. And we will talk to the White Sox manager next here on Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tony La Russa next.
2-2. He struck him out. A home opener, complete game shutout, twirled by Lance Lynn. First shutout in a home opener since the venerable Wilbur Wood in 1976.
Doesn't get much better than that. He was really in command, and what an outstanding outing. Did not walk a royal.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago for that highlight from Lance Lynn's complete game shutout in the White Sox home opener. We are here until 11 o'clock, and I am David Haw, Bruce Levine as well. And Bruce, we are pleased to welcome in a special guest to the Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com hotline. We have the White Sox manager ready to join us, correct, Bruce?
That is correct. For the first time in 35 years, I can say welcome to the Chicago White Sox manager, Tony La Russa, Inside the Clubhouse. Tony, good morning. Thanks for taking some time with David and myself today. And I guess preparation continues to go on, no matter whether there's a rainout or not for you.
Good morning, Tony.
No, we're all here in the clubhouse. You know, didn't know it for sure until they postponed it, but that just means that you try to figure out mostly the pitching rotation. So Ethan Katz and Kurt Hassler and I have been sitting around, you know, playing around and, you know, that and guys seeing how much work they can do today before it rains. So, you know, there's always something you can do.
Tony, as far as coming back, let's just talk about the opening day here in Chicago first and your feelings about being back in the Chicago uniform in front of the home crowd. Obviously, you didn't have much time to reflect before the game, but afterwards, just your feelings and your thoughts about being, as you say, home.
I had been thinking about it. I mean, you know, it was so significant, you know, in 1979, and under no circumstances I think I would last more than a couple of years. But how important the White Sox experience was, and that's one reason in the Hall of Fame where I would, you know, just everybody thought I'd have the St. Louis thing on my cap, but I said, no, how do you disrespect your opportunity that you had here in Chicago and also the wonderful A's situation? But, you know, coming back over the years, there was never once when, especially when I was this side of town, where I didn't run into White Sox fans, and they were always very welcoming, and they had great memories of their, especially the 83 team. So I just felt like it was going to be very special to be back, and everybody that I had a chance to talk to or meet made me feel that way. And then you hope that the ball game turns out to be something that everybody enjoyed. And thankfully that first inning with two outs and nobody on by Jose and Yuan and Yermin, and Lance took care of the rest of it. But you know, everybody, we had another couple of rallies where guys got base hits, and it was just the kind of game that, you know, is almost perfect as far as a fan is concerned.
Tony, it was an eventful first week. You sit here at 4-4, and we've talked about this a lot. When players come back to the game after a layoff, whether it's a year or in your case, a decade to manage, the speed of the game is something you hear often, like, I have to adjust to the speed of the game. Is the same true for managers in terms of processing information, making decisions quickly? And was there an adjustment period for you returning to the dugout and making those decisions in real time?
Well, there really was not. I think the reason is that I did it for so long and was taught, mentored about, you know, how you concentrate, how you prepare, and then once the game is on, you know, how you play the what-if game to stay ahead of it, you know, and you do it 5,000 times, you know, it's just, there's no way you're going to forget it. So the other real plus, and I mentioned this before, you know, sometimes people thought I'd been away from the game. I really wasn't. I was upstairs every year, And when you're upstairs, you're doing the same thing. You know, you're thinking along with both managers. And so that part of it was, there wasn't any problem with that. The big issue was just getting familiar, you know, all the processes for preparing and, you know, working on fundamentals and all that was the biggest challenge, and especially with a new roster. And really got through it with just an outstanding coaching staff. I'm really, really pleased. I think our fans would be pleased. Our coaching staff is outstanding and really helped me get through that spring training where a lot of good work was done.
So I'm listening to you in the post game on Wednesday, and I'm on the Zoom with you and the other reporters, and I hear you say, you know, I lost this game. I blew it. It was my mistake. Should have taken Foster out earlier. Didn't do it. And I'm thinking about, you know, beginning my career, you know, talking to guys like Billy Martin and Earl Weaver and Dick Williams, and I'm saying, damn, I never remember a manager ever saying anything like that. Is that just, you know, something that you felt you had to do, or is that just you just being who you are and saying, look, you know, I made a mistake here. You know, it just seems so different from a lot of the history of listening to managers and talking to them after games.
That's a good question. I think, well, first of all, if you have too many of those the rest of the season, then I shouldn't be around very long. So, but I think that the most important part about that, Bruce, is that you got to create an atmosphere in the club where everybody is accountable. Everybody takes responsibility for, you know, whether you're a pitcher or an infielder or outfielder, coach, a manager. And part of the accountability is if you mess up and you try to make excuses to explain it, then, and you're inconsistent, kind of hypocritical. So, you know, we really have stressed as a coaching staff and with the players, you know, that we're going to be honest and we're going to earn respect and trust. And the only way you're going to earn the trust is if you make a mistake, stand up and say, I messed up, you know. And you know, the worst part about it is what you go through after that game. I mean, you know, as the game is the players. It's the players against the players. Coaches and managers, we're supposed to put guys in position to win. So you really don't do a whole lot during the game. A lot of coaching goes ahead, hitting coach, pitching coach, so forth, infield, outfield, before to get guys ready. But during the game, you know, some of the decisions the manager makes, the most important are how many pitches. So when you mess that up, I mean, you feel rotten. And it was a terrible plane trip. And I've been, you know, that's why I work so hard not to stay on top of it, because I know how bad it's going to feel if you do it. But getting back to your thing, you got to be accountable. And I wouldn't be able to walk into that clubhouse, you know, with players not knowing that I had accepted responsibility for making a mistake.
Joined by White Sox manager Tony La Russa here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tony, when you go into the season, I imagine you had thought process in terms of how your lineup would come together, even without Eloy Jimenez. I don't know if you could ever anticipate a guy like Yermín Mercedes hitting .556 in the first eight games, one of the best stories in baseball. How has that altered your approach, and how sustainable do you think it is, not for him to hit over, obviously, .500, but for him to be a consistent hitter in the middle of that lineup?
Well, I'll take you to the beginning, and that is when I first joined the organization and was trying to understand the talent on the roster. When I got to the position players, you know, guys like Chris Getz, who runs our minor leagues, our hitting coordinators, you know, someone like Doug Sissons, the coordinator of the camp, Johnny Orton, who knows him from catching, and, of course, Kenny and Rick and Jeremy, the guys that in this system, plus Frank Menichino, they told me about Yermín. And, you know, and everything they said was true. This young man has a lot of catching talent. He just lacks experience right now, you know, running the game. But Frankie and all these people have told me, this guy is afraid of nothing as far as the game when he goes to the plate. I mean, he's trying to do something, and he does it with big swings, strike one, strike two, and then he does what you preach with two strikes. he just tries to put the ball in play. So if you watch him in the camp, I say, hey, he's, you know, I had expected it. And then you just impress it, you know, just how the ball comes off his bat. And to say that, you know, that I would have bet on this, the answer would have been no. But it, but he exactly fits the report that all the guys in the organization gave me about him. So really, there's an expectation that when he plays, you know, he's going to be a tough out. And he's really been just sensational. It's so much fun to watch him.
Tony La Russa, the manager of the Chicago White Sox, with David Hall and Bruce Levine on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes on a Saturday afternoon. The Chicago White Sox have been rained out today. They'll play tomorrow against the Kansas City Royals. And, Tony, the joy of winning, the joy of the sadness of losing, has that changed at all for you as a manager? The exhilaration of a win like opening day and watching a guy like Lynn Deal and your offense and defense doing his thing, and then the hurt and the pain of losses. Has that changed over time for you? Have you noticed that the first week being back in the game?
Well, that's a really good question, Bruce, because, you know, the first example of that was spring training. I know the coaches, Dave Duncan and McKay, they would always think I was a little bit nuts. But, you know, I really got into those spring training games, and one run in the ninth, I was, you know, I wanted us to win. If we lost, you know, it was bothered. And that's exactly the way I felt this spring. There wasn't any difference. And I got into these games now. And I really think that the answer is that the more that you experience, you know, the winning and the losing, you know, the deeper you feel them. So, you know, you take the losses harder. So they're not any easier to accept. They're tougher, actually. And a part of it is the expectations that our ball club has. You know, our fans really think, and I agree with them, that we should be really good, contend, and have a great chance to play in October. So, you know, when you have those expectations, it adds to the losing and the winning. And, you know, it's the old thing you hear all the time, but it's true. You know, you enjoy the wins for a little bit, and you suffer the losses longer. So that's why you try to win, because losing is no fun.
Tony, I find it fascinating what you guys are doing with Andrew Vaughn. He's basically learning a position at the major league level, and he struggled at the plate early on, got the first hit, seemed like he hit, exhaled and took the pressure off. Where is he in his development as a left fielder? And is that just one of those situations where kind of you had to adjust on the fly, and he was the next best option? And how is he handling that?
Well, I'll give credit to a legendary coach that was with the St. Louis Cardinals named George Kissel. I don't think anybody in baseball during the 60-some years that he was in uniform wasn't touched by George. And I happened to be there for a bunch of years. George taught Mike Shannon how to play third base when Ken Boyer retired. And his philosophy was, if you take an athlete who's willing to work, who's tough, can take the bruises of learning a position, that he can become, learning the basics over and over again, that he can become at least an average, even above average defensive player. We did that with Skip Schumacher in 2009, moving from the outfield to second base. So when Darryl Boston got a hold of Andrew, and you start looking at our infield situation and you wanted playing time, it actually started at Schaumburg last year, when Doug and the guys that worked down there and Wes, those guys worked them. You have an athlete who's willing to work. And I'll tell you right now, the way he's playing left field is a little above average. I mean, he makes good decisions. He breaks on the balls. He's made plays that are above average. Throws well. So it's just a product of really hard work, a determined young man with a strong head and heart and outstanding coaching. So, I don't hesitate. You know, we had Billy Hamilton. I took him out because Billy Hamilton's got experience. But I have no fear to leave Andrew in left field with a one-run game and the entire nine innings.
Tony, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much. I don't know what you do on the off day except prepare. Knowing Tony La Russa, you're just preparing all day for the next day. But have a nice meal somewhere and enjoy enjoy some company of your buddies. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, I always enjoy talking baseball. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, right, Tony. Thanks. Tony La Russa, the White Sox manager, kind enough to join us today. The White Sox are rained out. The Cubs play later today, 5 o'clock here, pregame on the score. Bruce, we have some people to thank because this has been a fun show. Went quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony La Russa, the manager of the White Sox, a late entry and a great one. Also, Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs. Adam Studzinski for a job well done as our producer. David, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. I write Sox and Cubs on our website at 670thescore.com. We'll see you next week, my friend.
And thank you, Bruce, for being a good sport, sitting in the dunk tank and letting people take their shots. You did it well. You did it professionally. It was a fun show. Thanks for joining us. We're back here next week. And also, well, I'm back on Monday morning, Mullinghoff, 5 o'clock here on The Score. Thanks for joining us inside the clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.